As we approach our subject tonight, we ask an interest in your prayers. We appreciate the prayer that's been offered. And appreciate the song service tonight. I enjoyed that so much. You know, these times that we're going through, the challenges that we're facing at this time, some of the restrictions that's being placed upon us, it's easy for us to get impatient. It's easy for us to get a little agitated. I'll just put it that way. We're not accustomed to so much government intervention and control, but we have it. So my question tonight is for God's people, for us, as we're going through this, what should we look like during this pandemic, so-called? What should we look like? What should the children of God look like in these frustrations, in these limitations, in these different circumstances? What should we look like? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So if God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, if he's made us a new creature in Christ, should we just look like the rest of the world? No. And so with that in mind, with what we're facing right now, with the challenges that we have before us, should we look any differently now than any other time since the Lord has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light? Shouldn't we be letting our light shine? Shouldn't we be more like Jesus? Shouldn't we be walking in those ways that are pleasing unto the Lord? Yes. So, virus or not, the Lord has called us to walk in a certain way that brings honor and glory to his matchless name. Virus or not. So let's think about what that should look like tonight. All right? I want to, first of all, notice the child of God, the new creature in Christ, should walk differently. I'm sorry, should love differently. That's where I want to start. Child of God should love differently than people of the world. Now, I'm talking about those that are not born of the Spirit of God, those that don't have the Spirit leading them. Now, those people can love their families, and their love is fervent, and their love is genuine, and their love is in many aspects like the child of God. But the people of the world don't love the things that God's people are blessed to love. They don't have a love for God. They don't have a love for his word. They don't have a love for his way. They don't have a desire out of thanksgiving for the love that God has given to us. They don't have that desire to be governed and to be guided by godliness and principles of righteousness. But that's a blessing that we as God's people have. And it's what he's called us to do, to walk according to those glorious principles. So what a blessing that we have, that we can let our light shine, that we can love God and love one another and show that love to others as we go through this life in a way that's according to godliness and righteousness. And so that's how we should look. You know, it's easy for this old flesh to rear its ugly head, isn't it? It's so easy for us, if situation presents itself, to get frustrated and upset. Bless your hearts, God has called us to love in a certain way. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul, there's a whole chapter there where the Spirit led Paul to describe to us what charity, which I love that old-fashioned word charity. You know, a lot of folks have a Bible that's not a King James nowadays, and I'm not aware of any of those that use the word charity. Maybe there are some, and if they do, then well. But the King James calls it charity. I like that because it's a little different. It gives you a different presentation than just talking about the word love. Charity is love in action. There's action to it. Charity is the kind of love that God has for us. Charity is that which is described in the Word of God, and he tells us how that we are to be, and we could turn to it, 1 Corinthians 13, and I won't spend a lot of time on it, but it speaks about how that charity suffers long and is kind. Now, long-suffering, all right, if we're going to have the kind of love that we are to have while we go through this life, then part of that is long-suffering. And you know what? Without love, you won't be very motivated to be long-suffering with somebody. But listen, aren't you glad God has been long-suffering with you? I personally am very thankful that God is long-suffering with us. And so charity is that way. The kind of love that this new creature, which the old man is not going to show that kind of love to God or to others because he doesn't have the love of God in him. But bless your hearts, if we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, we're called upon to have that kind of love, not only to one another in the household of faith, but to all people. Long-suffering with them. Now, there's plenty in this world that walk according to worldliness, according to the flesh. We don't want to have anything to do with the kind of life that they're living, but we can be kind and we can be loving toward others. And we should be toward those within and without. All right? So, long-suffering is kind. Paul goes on to say that he does not envy, does not vaunt itself, all right? It's not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly. You know, thinking about that, basically what that means is it's not rude. Humility, kindness, patience, being loving, all those words that speaks to us as the kind of love. Paul would go on to talk about how it seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. You know, we need to be thinking of things that are good and wholesome, those things which are according to the Word of God. does not rejoice in iniquity. You know, iniquity basically is filthiness. Well, we should have a disgust for that. But bless your hearts as we think about it. Not only a disgust for the filthiness, the iniquity in this world, but no appetite for it either. And you'll see where I'm going with this when we get into some more things. But just think about that for a moment. Rejoices in truth. Now, here's the real heart of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoiceth in truth. You know, we should desire Peter would tell us in 1 Peter chapter 2, desire the sincere milk of the word. That's truth, isn't it? Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. How are we going to grow as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ without feeding on the word? We need that. It's indispensable. We need to be feeding on the word of God. And I'll tell you how you can increase the appetite for the word of God. If you have it, you know, it's God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you have that, and if you feed that appetite on the word of God, you can grow in it. But if you start feeding on the things of this world, if all your attention is on other things, you're going to start losing that appetite for the word of God. You know, I've said this many times, but years ago, I remember Elder Sonny Pyle made the point that you would think that someone who neglects the word of God, when they once had a love for it, if they neglected it, they would get hungrier and hungrier for it. The problem is, what happens is that they lose their appetite. Other things start crowding in. Other things start to replace that desire for the good things of God. So may God help us that we would rejoice in the truth, in all the ways that we're able to see it in this world. It's not just in the Word of God, but I rejoice to see someone out in public who's walking according to truth. Don't you? I rejoice when some of our leaders of our land stand upon principles of truth and say that's the way it's going to be. I rejoice in that, don't you? Because you see, that's where our help needs to come from, is from the truth as it is in God's word. If we're standing upon that, if we're contending for that, and bless your hearts, that's the best place we can be. That's what we need to help us in these trying times. Paul would go on to say there in 1 Corinthians 13, charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And so in addition to love, what you see right there is faith. Faith. Trusting God. Trusting his word. Standing upon his truth. And living according to the principles thereof. So, first thing that I've noticed tonight, as far as the new creature in Christ and how we should look as we go through these trying times, we ought to love differently than the people of the world. And basically, we love different things, don't we? We have a love for God. We have a love for his truth. We have a love for his righteous ways. We have a love for his people. And we desire that our life, that, well, as Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So as we keep his commandments, we show forth his love, not only to God, but to one another. And so we need to love differently than the people of the world. Next thing I want to notice is that we need to be bearing different fruit than the people of the world. In Galatians chapter 5, when the Apostle Paul deals with the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, notice he described them differently. He didn't say fruit of the flesh. No, he said works of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is for those who have the Spirit, who are born of the Spirit. And that fruit comes from the working of that Spirit within us, that life that God has given to us. So in James chapter 1, I want to notice that very quickly. James chapter 1, Verse 18, James chapter 1, verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, I began tonight by speaking about how that if we are a new creature in Christ, then old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And he speaks here about how that God hath begotten us, all right? When that life-giving voice, the Son of God, when we hear that, when we're raised from a death in sins to a life in Christ, then we're a new creature in Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, when we were describing the kind of love that we should be following in this life, it embraced a lot of that, didn't it? Patient, kind, long-suffering, all right? And then he says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. You know, once we've received that engrafted word, we're able to bear fruit that we couldn't have borne before that. When we're born of the Spirit, when we hear that life-giving voice of the Son of God, when he gives us his Spirit, we then have the ability to hear the Word of God. And with his Spirit, we begin to bear fruit that we could not have borne without his Spirit. All right? You know, I've always been amazed at how people can take a tree and graft a branch from some other tree into that one. The Bible even speaks about that over in Romans, doesn't it? How that the Gentiles were grafted in. Like a wild olive branch. When that happens, and when it's done properly, then that branch can bear fruit that it could not have borne, or that tree can bear fruit that it wouldn't have borne otherwise. And you know, the Lord's people are like that. Once we're born of the Spirit of God, then we can bear fruit of the Spirit. But without that work that's been done in our hearts, we can't bear fruit of the Spirit. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Till we're born of the Spirit, we cannot bear fruit of the Spirit because we don't have it. All right? So, what kind of fruit then are we talking about? Well, I mentioned Galatians 5, where Paul, in verse 19, Paul goes through a long list of the works of the flesh. I'm going to turn to it, but I'm not going to stay there long. I remember years ago, we heard a preacher talk about how that, you know, if you just dwell on those, all those things that's listed there as works of the flesh, it can drag you down. And we see enough of that already. And I'm not trying to cast any negative light here on this passage, because it's the Word of God and it's good for us to know. But he goes through a long list in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. You know, just mentioning those things, we don't want any part of that, do we? And this word lasciviousness, you know, I'm not going to take time to define each of these. It's not my point to really get into all of those, but hopefully you have a good understanding of what these words are talking about. But that lasciviousness, unrestrained pleasures. Don't we see a lot of that being manifested in the world today? Unrestrained, as if there's no fear of God before their eyes. just doing whatever the flesh wants to do. We see that so much. And I'm not saying it's unique to our culture today. It's been around all along. But bless your hearts, that's no way for the child of God to act. These are works of the flesh. These are contrary to the things of the Spirit. We don't want any part of those things. He goes on to say, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. If he hadn't covered it already, other things that are like that. You really don't even want to think about those things, do you? Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. God has called us out of those things into his marvelous light. Oh, may God help us to be faithful to him. Then he says, but. Now, this is one of the buts in Scripture that we rejoice in. Because by his grace and by the gift of life and by the gift of his Spirit, there's something better. These things that we're about to read now with the fruit of the Spirit, this is what the child of grace should look like. This is what the new creature in Christ should look like, whether we're going through challenges or not. This is what we should look like each day. So he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Again, some of those terms that ends up that chapter in Galatians reminds us of what love really is. It's not envying. It's not striving. It's being patient and kind and long-suffering with one another. You just the mere reading of those works of the flesh as opposed to the fruit of the Spirit. I tell you, when you read through the list of the fruit of the Spirit, there's just peace there. There's calming. There's comfort in those things. But those other things, they disturb our mind. So as we think about it, the child of grace needs to be bearing a different kind of fruit than the people of the world. When the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, he speaks about adding to your faith. And there's nine fruit of the Spirit, but he's the seven things that Peter talks about that we're to add to our faith. All right? Add to your faith virtue, to virtue kindness, and kindness brotherly love. And it goes through a long thing. I may have left out something there, but hopefully you're familiar with the passage. Peter says to add these things to your faith. And he goes later on in that chapter, he says, for if these things be in you and abound. Well, the only way they can be in us is if we're born of the Spirit. But we need to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. And Peter says here in 2 Peter chapter 1 to add to your faith. Now, he didn't say add faith, did he? Faith is what we receive in the new birth. But he says add to it. All right, so when we think about those things. And then he goes on to say, for if these things be in you and abound. If we've applied ourselves to the Word of God, if we're intentionally serving the Lord and following in these things, He says, it'll make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. That's what we want. Don't we want to know him better? Don't we want to know his way better? Don't we want to know his word better? That's the kind of knowledge we need. That's the kind of knowledge we desire. And if we add these things to our faith, then, he says, we'll not be unfruitful. Well, if we're not unfruitful, that means we'll be bearing some of these fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, patience. All those things, those nine things that Galatians 5 tells us about. That's what we, as children of God, in these present trials, and the rest of our lives as well, that's what we should look like. Bearing fruits of righteousness. So we're to love differently. We're to bear different fruits. Our thinking should be different, shouldn't it? Our thinking should be different. By the way, when we were talking about the appetite that we have for the Word of God, you know, it's interesting. The kind of appetite you have for the things of the Spirit, or well, just basically the kind of appetite you have, has a lot to do with the kind of seed you've been sowing. Didn't Paul tell us? I've turned away from Galatians, but let me go back to Galatians. In the next chapter, Galatians chapter 6, let's just start in verse 7. Be not deceived. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now listen. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Someone once said, if you're not enjoying the harvest, consider what you planted. Some of us, for years when I would drive to work, I had the radio on to the Christian station, and Adrian Rogers happened to be on during the time that I was normally driving to work, and I got to appreciate a lot of his practical teachings. Now, when he got into the doctrines of grace, we differed greatly, but his practical teachings was really good. He's gone home to be with the Lord now, but they're still playing his messages on the radio. But one of the things that he said one time, it was kind of in gist, but there's a lot of truth to it. He said, you know, some of you folks are sowing your wild oats, your seed, wild oats during the week, and then coming to church on Sunday and praying for a crop failure. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's inescapable, isn't it? Of course, now, we have to take that with understanding. We're not saying that everything in the world happens to you with something that you caused or you're. We live in a fallen world. There's a lot of things in this world that are not according to what would be pleasing to the Lord. But we do have this guiding principle here that he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So when we're talking about bearing fruit, you know, and we could go to the Old Testament and grab the book of Haggai. When Haggai talked about how that there were those that you sown much, but you brought in little. And said, and when you brought it in, I did blow upon it. He also talked about putting it, you bring it home and you bring your wages home and put it in a bag with holes. And Haggai keeps saying, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Which is very similar to what kind of fruit have you, how kind of seed have you been sowing? All right? So God's word is so interrelated. These principles are so closely associated that we look at fruit bearing and we wonder, well, just what kind of seed have we been sowing? We want to sow good seed, don't we? We want to sow to the Spirit. All right, now that leads to we need to think differently. If our mind and our heart is set upon God's word and his principles of righteousness. You know, Romans chapter 12, as far as the practical teachings in the Word of God, Romans 12 is a powerful passage. Paul talks about, let's go to Romans 12. I was going to get just a principle, but let's look at it. Romans 12. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the reason I went to this passage is because not only are we to love differently than those of the world, and not only are we to be bearing different kind of fruit than people of the world, we need to be thinking differently than people of the world. All right? Now listen, as Paul continues in Romans 12, he says, and be not conformed to this world. You know, if all a person is after is doing what they can to get ahead in this world, then they're going to be studying the principles that apply to getting ahead in this world, and that's what they're going to be pursuing. And they're going to be conformed to this world. They're not going to want to be different. Listen, the Lord calls upon us to be different. That doesn't mean you can't be successful in a business or successful in your job or whatever, but it does mean that we are to be different. If he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, then we're not to look like, we're not to be like the things of the people of this world. We're the people of God. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so as we think about, if our citizenship is in heaven, then we need to look like a citizen of heaven. Let's just go ahead and be like one now, right here. Be not conformed to this world, he says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where your thinking happens, in your mind. All right? That's where a lot of the warfare is. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. All right? And though we war in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. All right? There's a word there that's escaping me at the moment. But though we live in the flesh, I think is what he says, we do not war after the flesh. There's a way for God's people to live. There's a way for God's people to think. There's a way for us to love. There's a way for us to bear fruit that brings glory and honor to his matchless name. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, if we had gone sooner to earlier verses over in Galatians chapter 5, he would tell us about how that the flesh is wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And Paul describes it in Romans 7, doesn't he? He says, that which I would, I do not, and that which I would not, that I do. What he's talking about there is this old flesh tries its best to control us. So who are we going to listen to? Are we going to follow the flesh? Or are we going to seek to follow the Lord? And again, it gets back to how much we feed on the things of this world, how much we feed on the things of God, the Word of God. The more we feed on the Word of God, the more we meditate upon those things, and the more we seek His will, and the more time we spend in prayer and speaking to the Lord and following Him, the stronger the inner man is. The more the Spirit, the influence of the Spirit that we feel and enjoy in this life. But if someone's mind is only on the things of this world, then the things of this world are going to have a strong pull toward that person. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Philippians chapter 4, Paul talks about how we're to think about things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. And if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's where our mind needs to be as a child of God. And the more we dwell on thinking about those things, the more those things are going to come forth from our life. The more the love of God, the more fruit of the Spirit, the more our thinking will be in line with the things of God and His Word. That's what we should look like as children of God, as a new creature in Christ, as we face the challenges of our day. That's what we should look like. That's how we should be thinking. Our mind should be renewed on the things of the Spirit. Paul goes on to say, those things which we have learned and received and heard and seen in me do. We've got some good examples, don't we? Got some good teaching. He says, and the God of peace shall be with you. Don't we want the Lord with us? Don't we want the God of peace to be with us as we go through this life? Well, when we're thinking upon those things, the things of God, the principles of godliness, the principles of righteousness, those good things, if we're trying to put those things into practice, and bless your hearts, the God of peace, he says, shall be with you. Oh, how we need that each day. Love differently, bear different fruit, think differently. One more thing. Our demeanor, how we conduct ourselves. In some respects, what we've already talked about applies, but those are the verses. There are times when God's people are not as intentional as they should be. I'll have to confess. I know you've had those times in your life. Not as intentional, not as focused on these things as we should be. And so what happens during those times, there's things that we know, but they don't come out in actions. I've often said, we know a lot more than we do. So the more intentional we are to let our light shine, the more intentional we are to read the Word of God, the more focused we are on our witness here in this world and how much our life is going to please the Lord. I'm not talking about legalism here. I'm talking about desire of the heart. When, and what I meant to say when we went through the idea of we should think differently, a lot of times when the scripture speaks about the heart, there's really a combination, spiritually speaking, there's a combination there between the heart and the mind. Some verses might speak of the heart and some might speak of the mind, and it's that inner desire, that mind, that heart. You know, like when Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, that heart there is, it means you're going to be thinking about it. Your affections are going to be there. It's going to have some priority in your life. So what I'm saying is that our mind and our heart are closely related. All right? So if we're to think the way we should, then we need to put our heart into it. All right? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we need to be conscious. I want to go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Some of these thoughts, we could also go to Ephesians 6, where he talks about the armor of God. Paul doesn't speak about the armor of God, but he does mention some of the armor in this passage. But notice what he's saying here. Colossians chapter 3, and I'll begin in verse 12. Paul says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Boy, that sounds a lot like the fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it? That sounds a lot like what Peter said to add to your faith. That sounds a lot like what much of the New Testament teaching about how we're to live our lives and what should be the fruit from our life and how we should be thinking. Paul says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness. Put it on. Don't rush over that part of this admonition. Put it on. We know it. It's in the Word of God. But when you start your day, and when you're faced with some of the challenges of the day, have you put it on so that the way that you respond to those things is going to be according to thus saith the Lord? We need to be intentional, right? We need to be mindful. We need to be thinking about how we should be applying ourselves in situations. Like I said earlier, this old flesh can rear its ugly head so quickly. And it does. Even when we are intentional. All right? So, Paul says, put these things on. In other words, you've got to be thinking about them. It's not a metal suit of armor. It's principles that should guide our behavior. So we've got to be thinking about it. We've got to remember, we've got to know them, we've got to remember them, we've got to have a great desire to want to be guided by those things if we're to effectively put it on. Got to be thinking about it, don't we? Thinking about it. So that we would act differently than the people of the world. Oh, may the Lord save us from looking just like the world. We have such a privilege as children of God. What great blessing God has given to us. Because if it weren't for the grace of God, we would be just like the people of this world. We would be. Oh, no, preacher, not me. Yes, you would. Yes, you would. Except for the grace of God, that would be us. But God is, and it's not because we were so good. God has given us these great blessings. No, it's because He's so good. It's because He's so great. It's because He is so wonderful that we have this Spirit, that we have an understanding of who He is and what He's done for us, and we have a desire for His Word. It's by the mercy and the grace of a loving Heavenly Father. And so, let's take advantage of this great blessing and these privileges that we have as children of God, as a new creature in Christ, and pattern our lives according to "Thus saith the Lord," so that we would not look like the ones, people of the world, but following in principles of righteousness. In Matthew chapter 12, there was a time when Mary and Jesus' brethren were without, and they desired to see Jesus. And they came to Him and said, "Your mother and your brethren are without, desiring to see thee." And I'm going to have to turn to it because it's recorded in a couple of places. And I may quote the wrong one by saying... Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 48, "But He answered and said unto them, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren?" Now listen, what I'm talking about is thinking differently and our demeanor representing who we are. If we're not thinking about it, we may look like the world. So Jesus said, "Well, who is my mother, and who are my brethren?" That's an odd question for Him to ask, isn't it? But He's not speaking naturally here. He's speaking spiritually. And He says, and He stretched forth His hand toward His disciples. Well, wait a minute, that's not His mother. That's not His brethren. Yes, it is, according to what He's about to say. Stretched forth His hands to His disciples and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do," it's not what we know, it's what we do. "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." He that shall do the will. For God's people, not to look like the world, we need to be doing the will of God. Which means we're seeking it, to know it, and doing it. All right? Let me go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. The same question, or the same situation presented itself. Luke chapter 8, beginning of verse 19. Then came to Him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at Him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, "Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee." See, it's the same situation. But what Luke records here is a little differently than what we have recorded in Matthew. Verse 21, "And He answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." Hear it and do it. Luke records this after his account of the sower and the seed. Matthew records that ahead of the lesson of the parables in 13. All right. They that hear. And so you can see in Luke how he's tying this to the parable of the sower and the seed. They that hear the word of God and do it. You see, one of the situations in the sower, the parable of the sower and the seed, that seed which fell among thorns. See, the seed is the word of God. We need to be hearing the word of God, don't we? And receiving it in a good heart. And bringing forth fruit. Right? That's all what we're talking about tonight. All of this is involved here with this sower and the seed. Or as some call it, the seed and the soils. The condition of the heart has a lot to do with how we receive the word of God. Right? I'm satisfied in that parable that all of those situations could be a child of God. I remember growing up and hearing folks say, well, now these are children of God and these are not. I think God's people can fit any of those at times. All right. But regarding those seeds that fell among thorns, Luke 8:14 says, and they which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. What's their conduct? How are they conducting themselves? Well, they heard the word. But the things of this world crowded in and choked out the effect of the word so that it didn't result in actions. It didn't result in fruit. It didn't result in mature fruit. You ever had a garden that was neglected? The weeds grew up and the plants were small and spindly instead of healthy and flourishing and fruitful. That's what he's talking about here. When the word is choked out by the things of this world, it can happen. God's children can let that happen to them. When we put too much emphasis on the things of this world and not on the things of God. And it says they brought no fruit to perfection. So what was part of the commentary that Jesus made after this? My mother and my brethren are those which hear the word and think good about it. No, and do it. It results in fruit. It results in actions. There's something that comes forth from it. Oh, how we need to hear, lay to heart, and respond to the things of the Word of God. there's so much. Let's continue in Colossians 3. Time's about gone. But in verse 13, Colossians 3, verse 13, I read part of it and stopped. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Wow. That's a high bar. Even as Christ, what did he say? Even as Christ forgave you. How much has the Lord forgiven us? Well, we can say all of it, can't we? All of it. So why can't we forgive others? He said, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Wow. That covers it, doesn't it? I can't think of anything that we can't forgive somebody. All right? Now, there could be consequences to what they did. But as far as understanding what Christ has done for us, and he said, even so, we're to forgive others. Wow. And then above all these things, he says, put on charity. Well, we talked about a lot about charity tonight, didn't we? The kind of love that we are to have among ourselves and to God, okay, but mainly among ourselves. Our love for God is to be mindful of his word. Try to keep it. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. Our love for God can be demonstrated in what we do for others. Jesus said, for as much as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So if we show love to others, and if we do for others who are in need, it's as if we're doing it for Christ. We're loving God by loving one another. Above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That idea of perfectness, maturity, reaching the end of the goal. Like Paul said to Timothy, the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart. When we think about the result, the goal here, so we might grow in grace, as Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Later in 2 Peter, he would say, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Paul continues here in Colossians 3, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. We've been called to something. He didn't call us just so that we could continue to live like we always have. He's called us to something. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know, worldliness is not in harmony with the Spirit of God. There's no peace there. They're contrary, as Galatians 5 says. They're contrary the one to the other. And so if we're going to let the peace of God rule in our hearts, we're going to be following after principles of righteousness. We're going to be following the leadership of the Spirit. We're going to be living in that peace with God and in harmony with him and his word. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body. Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, this kind of sums up what we've been trying to say all night. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. There's more to this teaching here in this chapter, but I want to stop right there. Whatsoever ye do. You know, a good test for us each evening would be to think back over our day. Think about what we did that day. Did we do it in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord? Well, I know we have our shortcomings and all those kind of things. But I'm just saying, what we purposed to do that day and the way we went about it, did we go about it in a way that was pleasing to the Lord? If we did, praise God. If we didn't, we ought to ask ourselves, now how could I do that differently next time that would be better? Maybe we weren't as patient as we should have been. You know, that one gets me a lot of time. How about you? Maybe we weren't as long-suffering with somebody as we should have been. Maybe we weren't a lot of things that we should have been as we went through our day. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. This new creature should love differently. This new creature should bear different fruit. This new creature should think differently. This new creature should act differently. This tells us how. I've just hit some high spots. See, that's why daily reading is so important. No preacher can cover it all. I know people think we try. We can't cover it all. But that's why we, each one, needs to be reading the Word of God on a regular basis. Because God does cover it all. You believe that? Paul told Timothy, all scripture given by inspiration is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The scriptures are a thorough furnisher for all good works. Whatever we need, God's word addresses it. Does that mean we understand it all? No. But that's why we need to keep reading. It's amazing. And you know this. You've read scriptures. Some of you have been reading the scriptures longer than I have. But you know this, that there's times when you read a passage and it unlocks for you something you didn't understand in another place. The Spirit helps us, opens our understanding. Scripture interprets Scripture. It's a thorough furnisher. It's everything we need for good works. He hath before ordained that we should walk in them. May God help us as a new creature in Christ to act like it, to love like it, to bear the fruits like it, to think like it. All for the glory of God, and it will redound to your blessing. May God bless you, is our prayer.